Do you want to come back, Councillor Henderson?
Yeah, there was just one thing I did miss out, and I did mention it at the start of the meeting. Like I said, I would like to see the Horsley Cross employment site back in the plan. I don't accept the arguments being put forward about it's not sustainable. We could say the same argument for Barside Bay, which is not going to be developed for years and years to come. These sites are important to have there, ready for any future possibilities that employment may offer to the area. What I did find interesting, because when the councillor was just mentioning about page 23, was a comment from the Essex Clinical Commissioners that just made me chuckle a bit, because they're saying that if we wait for this local plan, they may expand more services to local. Well, why can't they do it now? I mean, we're losing more local services as it is now. It seems strange they've got to wait for us to expand through a local plan to actually realise that local people need more localised services within their communities. I just don't accept that they're not doing it already. Thanks, Ivan. Carlo.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I think there's a danger here to actually everybody agreeing to what's been put in front of us. I've got a couple of observations, a couple of questions. My first observation is that we must not forget that whatever policy we put forward, there must not be in conflict with the National Planning Policy Framework. So to revisit policies at this stage, to negate what the MPPF is trying to do, and it's done very well up until now, there'll be a clear danger there to go into territory that it might render our plan unsound. The other observation I'd like to have is to start including land at this stage of the game. I mean, Horsley Cross has got a very checkered past and has not been delivered. The reason it hasn't been delivered is because of the infrastructure. I do tend to agree that maybe some discussion should have been had there to kind of take it out of the allocation side. But I've also had representation to include sites for tourism. And again, at this late stage, I've been told it's kind of missed the boat a bit. You know, you've got to, I just would like to have confirmation of that, that you've got to kind of make representation later on, like many here have. Going through the representation that's been had, and I'm surprised nobody's actually mentioned, there's over 200 sites been put forward here, you know, and I would like to understand what kind of process we will have. There will obviously not all of them will fight them at the inquiry, but it's very likely that a good percentage of them will go forward and they will be fought. And I'm looking at several here that will be very costly exercise to us as an authority. There are some pretty big players listed in the report here. So I would like to understand what kind of protection, if you like, we can have against those.
Okay.
I've got one more observation, Chairman. Where the representation from individual members have been put, don't get me wrong, I like Tim and Julie Young, but they've got a fair bit of mention in the representation there. I get on really well with both of them. But is there any specific reason that they've been mentioned quite a lot? And I'm sure other councils from Tendring have submitted representation. They're not listed there, apart from Councillor Heaney and Councillor Land. That's all I've got to answer this question.
Thanks, colleague. I'll get Simon to give a pricey sort of answer if you can.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Councillor Gugliami. Back to Horsley Cross. We did discuss this at the last meeting. I think we need to take it back a stage, really. Our role here is to produce a plan that is sound, that is robust, that will pass the tests. Horsley Cross has failed to deliver on its existing planning consent, and there's no hope, really, of any sign of it coming forward for the additional parts of that site. Now, part of the reasons for that And you must remember that the site itself was rejected a number of times before in terms of the actual planning applications, is that there's unnatural burdens on that land in terms of its gas network connection, which makes it unviable because we all know the yields are not that high in tendering. Not only that, it's in an unsustainable location. It cannot suffer the amount of investment required for the public transport to ferry people, excuse the phrase, to and from Harwich. And we know that because the conditions that we decided to put onto that made it very incumbent that there was public transport, and that again has not been delivered. So the risk to the local plan as a whole is if we put sites in that we know have already been out to market and have failed to deliver, then the planning inspector will look at our sites and say, well, you've got sites in here that have been proven not to deliver, therefore I have no confidence in your local plan whatsoever because you're backing duds. And that, I'm afraid, is the hard reality of it. If a planning application was to come forward, and I'm sure we'll determine it through our normal process through the planning committee. As it stands at the moment, we certainly cannot put Horsley Cross in. We've got evidence that you've received at this committee on the basis of what I've just mentioned. So, moving on, in terms of some alterations to policies, some amendments to tourism, etc., I think there is an opportunity for members of this committee to inform officers of some of those changes. We had some of those tonight in regards to LP6 and how to sharpen that particular policy up. And so, obviously, we do welcome suggestions. We will formally do this at the January committee, but, of course, you know, if there are issues burning, then Kath and I are available. We're happy to speak about those matters. In terms of the plan going forward, going back to the slide I did briefly cover in terms of those sites that have been submitted, and absolutely, it is the role of the local plan making. You make a representation, you want to have your site included in that plan, with or without the expense of some other site being removed. I've already mentioned that the sites we've got in our local plan that haven't already been removed because of decisions made at planning committee can go forward, and we don't need any additional sites. Now, we can't just say black and white that's what the outcome is. We need to run those sites for the sustainability appraisal because we need to consider reasonable alternatives to what we've actually put in our plan. And that's a very strong test, and it's a test that local plans have failed across times and times again across the country. So we'll get that right for Tendring District by doing those right tests of seeing really do some of those other sites outweigh the benefits of the other sites we've already got in the plan. But I must say that the preferred option stage carries proper weight. It is a proper part of the statutory process. So having gone through that, it's very difficult for sites to join the gang at the end of it. But what will happen, no doubt, is the likes of the sites in Wheely, which we're now not going ahead with, subject to the recommendation, and the other sites that have been submitted around Wheely to the north of Hawke Farm, etc., they no doubt will carry on and make representations to the planning inspector that their site is by far better than anything else that we're presenting. And we'll have that out at the hearings, and I'm sure at the end of the day, proper planning sense will take place. In terms of the overemphasis on the Councillor Youngs and Councillor Bourne, yes, I think their names do come up quite a bit because they were of the very few people that did actually make representations to the sustainability appraisal. So that's why they kind of appear in so frequently, but certainly doesn't decry, obviously, all the inputs that everyone else put into that. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.